All right, good singing all the way around. We bless the Lord for how good God's been, what He's done, what He's doing. Take your Bible, if you will. If you're able to stand, we'll be looking in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 28, and 2 Chronicles, chapter 29. And I'll give you a moment to find that. 2 Chronicles, chapter 28, 2 Chronicles, chapter number 29. All right, in chapter number 28, verse number 24, here's what we're going to be looking at in that passage there. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God, cut them in pieces, and the vessels of the house of God, and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. And he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. All right, chapter 29, verse 3. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and he repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites, and he gathered them together into the east stream. And he said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord, our God, and he hath forsaken him and turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs. And also they shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps, and they have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the Lord God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, to hissing, as you see with your eyes. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the Word, and we do thank you for it. How good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We thank and praise you, thou art God, from everlasting to everlasting, and beside thee there is none else. Now, bless, I pray, the Word to every heart. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while on like Father, but unlike son. And that's in the good sense. You know, the old cliche is like father, like son. You know, you grow up as an infidel daddy and you teach your children so, they're going to probably follow in your path. I'm glad that it was not that way with Hezekiah and his daddy Ahaz. Ahaz was a man that was religious. Ahaz was a man that was a leader. He was a ruler and all of that. And in chapter number 28, he talks a whole lot about him. And let me say to you that it's that which in verse number 1, but the Bible said, but Ahaz did not that which was right in the sight of God. You and I that are gathered here this morning, we're either doing what's right in God's sight or what's wrong in God's sight. And let me tell you, he's the only one that's going to, it's not hard to get your family, to get your friends, to get acquaintances or people that you're popular with to put their stamp of approval upon you and what you're doing. But you're not going to sell God that quick. And this Bible said that, if you will, that there's Ahaz. And I'm going to tell you, he lived such a godless and such a wicked life to where he ended up shutting up the house of God. You know, in the day and hour of which that we're living in, is that that's become a real big thing in the day and hour that we're living in. In this lesson that we're looking at, I remember back in, somewhere around 2003, there was somebody that was on Fox News. It was a lady. And they were talking about the controversy between what was going on then and the queer priests that were on the rise and that were coming out of the closets. Some of you may have remembered them. And one woman made a statement and said, I guess I'm going to have to learn to accept that just like I had to learn to accept my daughter marrying up with somebody interracially. And I guess I'm going to have to learn to accept that. So therefore, I guess I'll have to learn to accept these queer priests that are coming out of the closet. Now, that's the way religion is. That's the way it's always been. That's the way it'll be tomorrow. That's the way it is right now. It's going to get worse and worse till Jesus comes again. I got to tell you, God don't feel any different about the Sodomite crowd now than he did when he first wrote it down and said they're an abomination unto God. If a man lays with mankind like he does with womankind, they're both an abomination unto God. And we've lost sight of that and we've forgotten that. I guarantee you there's a preacher or two that'll preach that, but they ain't going to preach that interracial part. And it's not hard to find out when you walk in an average Baptist church. I don't care if it's in this state, in this city or any city. It ain't hard to be able to look around you and tell what they're not preaching on. in this Bible lesson that you're looking at, the Bible said that he didn't do what was right in the sight of God. He became idolatrous. He was a man that had imagery. He was a man that offered incense in high places. Here's a man that, according to chapter 28, verse number 6, had forsaken God and all there was about him. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you, he even got to where that he decided, I'm going to fix some places where we can just go worship here, worship there, worship in any city. And they were all false worshipers. And as a result of that, nobody was sent from God to establish anything. You remember over there in the book of, and I don't want to mess up a sermon that God's already burning in my soul, but in Jeremiah 23, God said, these prophets, they ran, but I didn't send them. They spoke, but not by me. They just all of a sudden in this day that Ahaz, they got to go where they were running around religiously, and they just decided they'd go ahead and establish this for God and that for God and go here for God and that for God, and God hadn't called none of them, and God didn't send none of them, and you can always tell because they were dead as a hammer. When they prayed, when they preached, you could tell whenever they performed whatever it was they were trying to perform that it was all a man-made, self-made thing that was going on. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you'll find out that here's a man by the name of Ahaz. And let me say to you that he finally took in what belonged to God in the house of God. He began to take it and burn it and cut it up. And as a result of that, he was trying to offer to the heathen and given to the God-cussing heathen world that which rightly had belonged unto the Lord. Now, I got to tell you, here's a man that in chapter 28, that the Bible says in verse number 20 and 21, here's a man that moved into rest. And the Bible said in verse 21, and Ahaz took away a portion out of the house of the Lord and out of the house of the king and the princes, and he gave him to the king of Assyria, but he helped him none. And in the time of his distress, he trespassed yet more against the Lord, and this thing did King Ahaz. And let me say to you that, if you will, he began to sacrifice unto the gods of this world. In fact, verse number 23, he began to look at the heathens, and it looked like they were doing pretty good worshiping what they were worshiping and doing how they were doing. And the Bible said in the last phrase of that verse number 23, but they were a ruin to him of all of Israel. He felt like that's going to help these gods, false as they may be in the eyes of many. No, it wasn't the eyes of men, it was in the eyes of God. He said, surely they've been helped and it's going to help me. But it didn't. It didn't help him. It became his ruin, the Bible said. Now I want to show you that, if you will, that it doesn't have to end like that. You may have gotten on the wrong track. You may be going the wrong route or the round. But let me tell you right now, you can end up like old Hezekiah. And the Bible said that after Ahaz is gone, is that the Bible said that Hezekiah's son began to reign in his stead. And the Bible said that, if you will, that he began to look at and began to see that in verse number 6 of chapter number 29, that the house of God, buddy, people had turned their faces against it. People had turned their back upon it. You know, in the day and hour that we're living in, it's harder in a small town. It's harder in a small town to be able to build a group because you finally run out of people. Everybody you run upon is going to be somebody's kin folks that live there in that town, in that county, in that area, in that neighborhood. If you don't believe it's hard, get out here and find you a building somewhere and go get it, buddy. Go get at it. I'll tell you what you'll end up finding is that you'll end up finding out is that they're and gripe about you just like they have about me or anybody else that stands up and preaches the word of the Lord. I'll tell you something else I've noticed. I had a woman one time, got mad as the devil, left and pulled nine families with her. Nine families. Well, that's five and four is nine. That's the reason why my books always have too many points, because I don't know how to count it up. But she pulled nine families. Now, somebody said, you mean she got nine families? No, she's always had them. I just didn't know it till the day she made her exit. And let me tell you what they've done. They've tried to go ahead and pull people out of our church and go to another church and be in a church. And today, they've church-hopped to where they're hopped out. And now they're not going anywhere. And most of them, their kids, grandkids, and so forth and on, are dying without hope and without God, going to bust hell wide open. I am sorry to say, but make no mistake about it. They never one time considered that they'd done evil and that they had forsaken God nor the word of the Lord. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you'll find out is that they turned their backs on God. And the Bible said that when you begin to look into it in chapter number 29 and in verse number 7, and they put out the lambs. Man, you talk about a dark place. You talk about a lonely place, buddy. As a result of that, when you begin to look into the lesson, you say, how did this happen? Well, not overnight. Not overnight, because in chapter number 28, you're going to find out in verse number 10, they had sinned. In verse 13, they added sin to sin. You know, it's a downhill run, isn't it? You're going to walk in the wrong direction, and it ain't going to long until you've drifted farther and farther and farther to where it's past the point of no return. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, is that when the lamps had been put out that should have been burning and should have been maintained and kept burning, is that they didn't care one way or the other. They just mumbled around and bumbled around and fumbled around and felt around. And finally, they got worse and worse and worse until finally death took them and squeezed them completely out. In chapter number 29 that we're looking at, I want to say to you, that here's a man that knows what the cure is. We told you a little bit about the cause. Here's a man knows what the cure is. You know what it is? He's going to open up the house of God, the doors of the house of the Lord. I mean, to start out with, dear friend, I can tell you right now, it don't matter if you're the man or woman, it don't matter if you're in charge, let me tell you, or not, you better look unto the Lord and realize and know that the most detrimental thing to your family is to get them out of the house of God. The most wonderful thing that you'll ever learn in your life is to be able to get in your place with God and to be able to feed on the blessed word of the Lord. You know, in the day we live in, what happens is we get bored. Paul the Apostle used to get bored. He said, you know, I thought that I must do many things. But this one thing I finally learned that I needed to do. I need to forget that which is behind and press on for the mark of the prize of high calling in Christ Jesus. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out that when the doors were opened up, Hezekiah opened them up. And let me tell you what a faithful man that he was. Hey, wouldn't you like to have that? How'd you like to one of these days stand before the Lord and either be condemned like Ahaz, here's a man trying to help tear up the house of God? Or would you rather say, here's a man like Hezekiah that opened the doors up, lit the lamps back, and got to walking with God and showing people what they ought to do, how they ought to live, and how they ought to magnify the Lord. These are people. Here's a man that was faithful. Here's a man that was a tither. Here was a man that was a prayer warrior. Here was a man that no doubt promoted to others the work of God and the grace of God that would save a soul from a devil's hell. Now, in verse number 5 of chapter number 29, this Bible said first thing he did was he got all the leaders together. And he said, I want to sanctify the house of God, and I'm going to start with you. And all you leadership better sanctify yourself. I want you to run down through there, mentally decide where you're away from God, not right with God, and set apart yourself for the glory of God and the work of God. Starts with the leadership, don't it? And not only that, but you'll find out that here's what he said. He said, I want you to sanctify not only yourself, I want you to sanctify the house of God. I want you to carry forth the filthiness out. Now, listen, I realize and know that in the day and hour that we're living in, that if you don't start a restaurant in your church, and I don't know of one particularly, I'm just knowing there's a lot of that going on, to try to be able to entice or to be influential upon some, and so they got a restaurant in church. I'm not against a restaurant, but I'm against it in church. I'm against any game, any gimmick, anything that's trying to entice people beside the expounding of the word of the Lord. Anyhow, the long and short of it is that he said it's time for you to sanctify yourselves and to sanctify the house of God and carry forth out the filthiness. Now, I want to say that when you begin to look into that, is that you'll find out there no doubt had been an act of evil that were going on. And they had forsaken the house of God. And in verse number 6, it'll tell you that. In verse number 11, it's time for you to be able to choose and make your stand with God. And so we'll let God be true and every man a liar. In the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that in verse number 21, there was a sin offering that was going to be offered. In verse number 27, there were songs that began to be sung to the Lord. There was a worship and gladness and the notes of thanksgiving coming from these people that were singers. In verse number 31, there was a thank offering that was offered unto the Lord. In verse number 35, there was a peace offering that was offered unto the Lord. I just wonder, are you at peace with God? I hope you are, and if you're not, it's good to know that you can be. And let me say to you that as you begin to look into it, he said, I want you to set everything in order as a result of that. Now see, back in the days of his old daddy that shut up the house of God, he said he offered no sin offering. That means they didn't want to think they were ever wrong about nothing. Sound like Baptists, don't it? I mean, I know about you being wrong, and I know about you falling short, but I can't see that for myself. I got to tell you right now is that I don't have to learn that when I come to the house of God. If you're a child of God, you know that immediately when you mess up with God. Nobody has to tell you that. If you're a child of God, he lives in your heart, and the Holy Ghost of God goes to getting grieved on the inside of you. But you know, if you're not careful when preaching's going on, you go to thinking of 7 or 8 or 10 people that's going to apply to. Not me yet. Might be more me than I think. Isn't that true? Now in this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, is that one of the things that hurts our testimony and loses our joy is that we're not there willing to acknowledge before God when we've sinned against the Lord. And I got to tell you right now is, make no mistake about it, whenever it happens, And you will every now and again mess up and sin against God. I wouldn't recommend trying to justify it, but I tell you what I would do is that I'd just be careful to know that we have an advocate. His name is Jesus Christ, and that when we do sin, if any man sin, then all you got to do is come before the Lord and ask our representative, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to get us forgiveness and forgive us where we failed then. Cleanse us and wash us and make us clean. I don't know about you, but that's the cleanest feeling you'll ever get. I want to say in closing that, if you will, that when things got to be set in order, everybody was in their place. I want you to look in 2 Chronicles 29, and I want you to look in about verse number 36. The Bible said there, and Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people, that God had prepared the people for the thing that was done suddenly. You know what it was? Well, it was that offering that they got in verse 35. And let me tell you what it was. And also the burnt offerings were in abundance. They were going to take and confess some sins, what they're doing. The fat of the peace offerings, that's what happens when you get rid of sin. And the drink offerings and every burnt offering. And so the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. I got to tell you right now, I don't know how miserable you have been, but I can tell you how happy you could be. If so be, you'd get your life straightened up and set in order with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And make no mistake about it, is that this thing can happen suddenly. I mean, you might have come to church dragging, but you can leave skipping. You may have come to church, you know, and I can promise right now, I wish I'd have had a picture of this young man when his grandpa, when his papa announced that his mama and himself and this young man was going to the Callahan. Son, I'm telling you right now, that was a Kodak moment, and we didn't get a picture of it. But I got to tell you right now, I know what that's like to be able to have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You know, if you do that and you've got that kind of joy that goes beyond that in the divine sense, somebody somewhere around you is not going to like it. But you won't care. See what I'm talking about? See, you know, we come to church sometime wondering what they're thinking. I wonder what they're thinking. Hey, cut that out. Most of the average Baptists you know can't really think no how. There are preachers, I know they can. I speak for myself and all the other clergy. I said all that to be able to say this, is that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And suddenly, you can just lay that down at the feet of the Lord and just keep marching right along. I've been doing this a long time. And had it not been for the grace of God, I'd have quit a long time ago. You can make a whole lot more money selling watermelons if you get in the right neighborhood. And you're thinking, oh my, that's racist. I'm talking about you got to get in a neighborhood where people can afford to buy a watermelon. Did you try to buy any last year? I tried to buy some of them from those Pennington melons from over there in Grapeland. $15 a pop. See? I can remember when they wasn't 50 cents. I can remember when they were their daddy and their grandpa and whoever else. And, of course, they're dead and gone now. I just said all that to be able to say this, is that don't ever think that you're going to get in the ministry for money. Now, it's not all like I've got. I mean, I'm in high cotton. Have been. You've been good to me. God has given it back to you, and may God recompense you at the resurrection of the just. Now, I said all that to say this. I got to tell you right up front, make no mistake about it. If you were to surrender today, as many of you may want to, somebody said, I surrendered, and I got me a wheelbarrow because they told me, look, once you get out there on the air, you're going to need a wheelbarrow to be able to get your mail to the house. And he said, lo and behold, I bought a wheelbarrow on a credit, and I lost it last month. Couldn't pay the note. You better serve God for who he is and what he's done and what he's going to do. See? And in due time, God will exalt you. If you'll humble yourself, God will exalt you in due time. All right, let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word. Lord, you know every need that we have. You know every need that not only we, they have. And Lord, we're asking you. We're not giving up. We're asking you to give us hope in a time of hopeless situations. We want to say thank you now for your grace and mercy you've bestowed upon us. Bless these young men, these young ladies. We've watched them as they were born into this family and born again into this family. And now we hear, as we sit at their feet, them singing and praying and teaching. We thank God for the grace of God and the goodness of God that's led us to repentance. Now I pray that, Lord, you'd examine every heart that's here. In Jesus' name we pray.